Hey friends, today is Marriage Revealed. Father Cristino and I discuss the nature of marriage and the truth about dating, divorce, annulments, adultery, and more. Father Cristino, I have a question regarding marriage and when marriage doesn't work out, people separate, and now they think, well, am I free to start dating other people? So they were sacramentally married, didn't work out, they're separated. Maybe now they have met someone or they are on a dating app and they're looking for someone. Is a person free in that situation to do that?
Well, I think the simple technical answer is no, because there is no such thing as separation or divorce. You might be apart from your spouse. You might have the government document saying that you are no longer considered legally bound to that person. But Jesus makes very clear the indissolubility of marriage in the gospel. This isn't a stretch after 400 years of development of doctrine that the church eventually came up with this. This is from the mouth of the Son of God himself in the gospel, the indissolubility of marriage. And so in the same way that if you were not separated from your spouse, it would be considered an affair to be going out and seeing a different person, and worse, if you were being physically intimate with them or presenting yourself as their significant other behind your spouse's back. If you are separated from that person, all that's really changed is your physical proximity to each other. If you're divorced from that person, all that's really changed is the government no longer considers you legally united under the bond of matrimony. But neither of those things correspond to the reality of the sacrament.
I can hear people watching this and responding with, that seems really harsh, Father. Because don't you know, you don't understand my situation. My situation maybe was abusive or it was very difficult. And for my own good, I had to leave the house. And in my heart, I know that I was never married. So because my heart tells me I was never married, I should be free to start seeing other people.
I would ask that person, when did you become aware that you were not ever married to the person who you called your spouse for some time in your life? And it's very difficult for us, of our own, without any outside assistance, to assess our own situation. There's an old proverb, the doctor who treats himself has a fool for a patient. If you think that you can, of your own accord, make that kind of assessment about yourself, it begs the question, how didn't you know that from the first place? You obviously intended to be married to this person. If you became convicted eventually that you were not validly married to that person, what changed in between? And how can you just not be sure that marriage just stopped being beautiful? Because marriage isn't guaranteed to be beautiful. It is meant to be indissoluble, but it is not guaranteed to be beautiful because this is a fallen world and we are sinful people. And I think there are people who live long marriages that have chapters of beauty and chapters of sorrow and struggle and difficulty. And it is precisely in those moments that perseverance is called for. Now, I fully accept that there are instances where people discover something or there is a change in their spouse that either becomes actually physically or emotionally threatening to their safety and well-being or their mental health, or they're just abandoned by their spouse. When you come home from work and there's a note on the table from your husband that he's leaving, and what are you supposed to do? You that you didn't ask for that. So I fully understand that those realities occur. But we cannot enter into marriage claiming that we believe in the indissolubility of that union. Because you can't sacramentally marry in the Catholic Church unless you say you believe that to be true. And then turn around and say, I've decided we were never sacramentally married because of the experience that I have had. That is a subjective assessment of something you initially agreed to be an objective reality outside of yourself. This is why in her wisdom and in her mercy, our mother, the Church, proposes to us the healing process and experience of investigating a marriage on the grounds for the declaration of nullity, which we more colloquially refer to as getting an annulment. And getting an annulment isn't just writing to the bishop and asking for permission to marry again. Receiving an annulment, which isn't really the right way to talk about it, we call it a declaration of nullity because now that objective third party, our mother, the Church, outside of ourselves, looks upon all of what we share about our experience of the breakdown of that union so that someone from outside of ourselves can look at it and say, yes, there were necessary ingredients that are required for marriage to be valid and real that were missing. And they were missing from the beginning. And therefore it is clear that you, unbeknownst to you, could not have and therefore did not actually enter into marriage. And when we have that assurance, now we can move forward with peace and with confidence. And of course, you're free to begin seeing other people. Now listen, I understand, practically speaking, that very few people actually do that. I deal with a lot of people seeking marital annulments, and they are often already civilly married to someone else, but desire to resume the practice of their sacramental life, or have a person that they're waiting to get an annulment for so that they can marry them, which implies that they've begun dating them and seeing them before they were free to be married in the first place. I realize that, but just because that's what happens often doesn't just change the reality of the situation. And the reality of the situation is, if you entered a sacramental union, you are married to that person until the Church helps us to explore and determine whether or not that necessary ingredient may have been missing, in which case now I can with certainty move forward knowing that I was not married to this person who I thought was my spouse.
I think for some, what you're saying might be very difficult to hear. But another way to look at it is when I hear this, I think of marriage as beautiful and it's encouraging because if I look at my relationship with Janelle, just because something gets difficult doesn't make our marriage invalid. You know, just because, as you said, there's high points and low points, it has how I feel about the relationship, what we're going through has nothing to do about the reality of the relationship, that it is indissolvable until death we part. And I find this greatly consoling that the sacramental graces are available to us in our marriage, despite how difficult life might become. And I have to say, I'm so blessed. Janelle and I have a wonderful relationship. But that can also be very consoling for someone who is in a marriage relationship where it's a very, very dark and difficult to know that Jesus is still present in their relationship, that the sacramental graces are still there, and they can cry out for these sacramental graces to be alive in their relationship instead of thinking, oh, perhaps the sacrament didn't happen. Therefore, now we look at this open door. I think protecting the indissolvability of marriage is so important right now. And that's why I wanted you to speak to this, because it is a gift to us from Jesus Christ. And as the family goes, so goes society. And so I think I appreciate your thoughts. I really do feel sad, though, for people in some of these relationships who, for maybe good reason, felt like they needed to separate themselves from a harmful situation. They see their situation as irreconcilable. And now they might be sitting there thinking, okay, Father Christino, I might not be able to get an annulment. What am I supposed to do? Be lonely for the rest of my life? Seems kind of harsh.
I get that. And I don't feel good about saying that, but it is not about how I feel. If we are going to participate in objective reality, we have to participate in objective truth. Life is not just about my subjective perception of it. I do have to perceive the world around me, but that means there has to be a world around me to be perceived. I'm not in charge of making up reality as I go. And so that's a bigger philosophical reality for everyone, not just regarding the situation of the breakdown of a marriage. But I want to make something clear about people who may find themselves in this situation. It's completely understandable that you may not feel motivated to consider a declaration of nullity until you have found someone that you want to marry, but that you don't want to marry outside of the Catholic Church, outside of the sacramental grace of matrimony. And so then you decide to pursue an annulment. I realize that many people come at it from that perspective. So I'm also aware of the reality that surrounds us, and I'm not living off in some ideal ivory tower. I know that that's how things go. But it does a disservice to our belief in the indissolubility of marriage if we don't at least appreciate that this is not the ideal way for it to go. We must still at least accept the ideal. Not as some unattainable thing that I just have to nod my head to, even though I know no one can actually have it. We have to see that it is what is proposed to us. And if you are in that situation, if any of your viewers or people who know someone in their life that is going through this finds themselves in the situation where before they've even begun to pursue an annulment, they're already in another relationship with the person, I would say to them, proceed with caution. You don't know the extent to which whatever happened in the breakdown of your marriage still has some lingering effect in you, either because of some trauma you endured at the hands of your spouse, or, to be fair, because of some defect within yourself that made it difficult for your spouse to remain married to you. And to think that it was just a problem with the other person, I know sometimes, especially in an abusive situation or where there's an infidelity, it's easy to look upon it as entirely the other person's fault. And that may well be the case, but my suggestion is to not rush into another relationship under the assumption that it was only the other person's problem, and that now that you've found a good person, this will be okay this time around. Because I don't think you thought you were marrying a bad person, but you decided to do it anyhow. When there is a breakdown, it's because we come to discover something about this person that if I had understood or known better, or taken more seriously in the beginning, we wouldn't have been in the situation to start with. And so that means there is some amount of prudence on your side that you also need to have in being careful about proceeding into a subsequent union. And at the bare minimum, there must not be physical intimacy that is meant to be reserved to marriage, because it compounds the inability to objectively discern. if you've allowed yourself to become so romantically caught up with this person that you are now sharing physical intimacy with, you're going to have a very hard time discerning a future with that person outside of how they make you feel right now. And so if you are pursuing a relationship with another person and you have not begun to consider a declaration of nullity investigation for your prior union, I at least urge people to put on the brakes, not necessarily cut the person out of their life and pretend that they don't exist, but to proceed with caution, to proceed slowly with discernment and prudence. And then I do urge you, talk to your parish priest and see what could be done about beginning or exploring a declaration of nullity.
If somebody was in the situation where they are civilly divorced and civilly remarried, and initially they had been sacramentally married, but have not had a declaration of a nullity, is one free to receive the sacrament of the Eucharist?
Not if someone has civilly remarried. That is the objective fact. Now, there are ways in which, especially in light of the last number of years, some debates have been raging about how that is to be pastorally cared for. But irrespective of what anyone wants to think or say, Pope Francis has done, especially through the post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia, the Church's teaching has not changed on this matter, because this is not a disciplinary teaching of the Church. This comes from the Lord. He has taught the indissolubility of marriage. It cannot be changed, and it has not been changed. What is being addressed is the need to, with compassion and sensitivity, pastorally accompany individuals on a case-by-case basis. And I can testify, as a priest of almost 11 years, I have been through this with many different people. And I know that circumstances can be different from one place to the next, especially if people have been given poor instruction or formation from a previous priest who has told them, oh, don't worry about this. The annulment process is a shoe-in and the paper will come soon. Just go and get married and live your life in peace. I know priests who have told people that, who in good conscience just thought they were doing what they were told by their priest by saying, the Anglicans will marry you and then we can bless the marriage later. And then are left in that limbo maybe forever. Those kinds of situations exist. And so I am sensitive to what is being addressed as needing to be pastorally cared for. But there is not a blanket statement that says people who have sacramentally married, civilly divorced, and civilly remarried another person can freely participate in the sacramental life of the Church. That is not possible, and that has not been taught, even under the pontificate of Pope Francis. And what needs to be done is pastoral discernment and accompaniment in a case-by-case basis with these individuals to see the manner in which they can be helped through the situation in which they are living.
Thanks for the clarity on that, Father Cristino, because it does seem like there's some confusion about that. So I appreciate the clarity. I'd like you to speak to one more situation, however. Maybe it's a slightly different one where a person was sacramentally married. Now they are separated. And now they are dating someone. You said earlier that they should not be in that situation. Don't let me put words in your mouth if I misunderstood you. Can that person receive the Eucharist?
If that person has not begun living an adulterous life, dating is for marriage. And if you will not be able to marry the person, then you are not dating them. But if you are walking around presenting this person as your boyfriend or girlfriend or your fiance, if you are being physically intimate with them, then you are committing adultery. That's just the simple fact. And any mortal sin, adultery just being one of many, precludes us from access to the sacraments, except the sacrament of reconciliation, except we cannot be absolved of a sin we intend to continue committing, because then there's no repentance. So a person who is seeing someone, getting to know them, fostering a friendship, maybe even admittedly falling in love with them, I warn that person that you may be entering into something that is imprudent, if even just for the sake of guarding your heart, but you're not sinning per se. I compare it to the same place, it's the same thing as we hear about workplace romance that begins. You don't necessarily mean to begin cheating on your spouse, even if you're happily married. When you see a person 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you work closely together, you may not be able to help but fall in love with that person. Even if you say, I'm happily married to my spouse. But then that means you have the responsibility to put some boundaries in place. You cannot be going on lunch break with that person every day. And you cannot be texting each other on the weekends just to stay in touch, or sending photos to each other of what you each are up to. That is the beginning of infidelity. And so if that's the case when you're happily married, nothing's changed when you're unhappily married. Because happily or unhappily, you are married. There is no way of describing marriage that changes the dissolubility of it. So if you are not living scandalously, if you are not presenting a person who is not your spouse as though they are your partner, if you are not being physically intimate with them, all you know you're doing is getting to know a person and hoping to grow in friendship with them, then I would say you're not committing any sin. If you have not been behaving that way, but you're prepared to make some changes, I would encourage you to go to confession, to experience reconciliation, to receive the grace of that sacrament, to help you live that friendship in a more prudent and virtuous manner. And then you may resume your participation in the Holy Eucharist.
Thank you, Father. Is there any last words that you would like to offer here as we wrap up?
I want to say that my heart goes out to anyone who, hearing this, is hurting or feels condemned or judged or criticized. And I can only say that I love you. The Lord loves you and he wants you to be happy. But we don't always know exactly how to make ourselves the happiest. We must seek our happiness from the Lord. And that means living in accordance with what he has spoken to us through the gospel. And so in this time in your life, as you navigate how to handle this situation, I just encourage you to stay close to Jesus in the gospel, to be prepared to make some changes if changes are necessary, but never to think that you are condemned, never to think that you are not loved or lovable. Know that you are loved. And because of that, the Lord always calls us to higher.